through some of it this morning, but I want you to get that. If you have a tablet or smartphone at all, you just go to HardinValleyChurch.com/app. You can download the app, and on there is a tab that says Notes. You can see the notes for today. You can see last week. You can see previous sermons and all. It doesn't cost you anything. But I want to encourage you, if you want to do that, to follow along. HardinValleyChurch.com/app, and you can kind of follow along. And this is going to be one of those I want you to revisit. I want to really try and help you today with your finances. I'm not talking the next 45. I'm not talking the next 30 minutes about giving. I'm talking about nuts and bolts kind of things. I want to give you some help from the Scriptures. Help from the Scriptures. So I hope, how many of you would like a little help? Anybody in here want a little help, biblical help with your finances? Anybody in here? Some of you going, I don't have any money. Well, that's a financial need, right? How many of you are going, I want to do better because I get paid and then it seems like it's gone in like 22 seconds. Anybody in here ever feel that way? And I would do better, but you know, you got a comma and a but there. Does the Scripture give me any help here? I mean, anybody here would like, I'm going to ask you that in a minute. Anybody here want some financial peace? You'd love to have just a, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I'm really excited. Psalm 24, verse 1, you've been sitting just for a second. Would you stand one more time? Let's read this. We've said it for several weeks now. I hope you're memorizing it by now. Verse 1, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. The earth is the Lord's and all the stuff that's in it. Everything belongs to King Jesus. Say that first part with me there. The earth is the Lord's. One more time. The earth is the Lord's. I want to answer a question. Why should I care about my finances? I want to help you. One more time, would you pray, God, from front to back, left to right, those who are watching now and will watch later, help us understand that you have something to say about how we manage our stuff, how we manage our time, our talent, our treasure, our testimony, how we manage what we've inherited, what we'll leave behind, how we manage what we do at work, and should we have a job, what, all those kind of things. You speak to us. So what I say today won't be exhaustive, but Lord, I pray that it'll be very helpful. I pray what we do say this morning from the Scripture, we'll take not as good advice, but we'll take as biblical precept. And I pray that you would help us this morning to hear, understand, and obey. Father, would you work in our hearts and our lives? Be with us right now. Speak to us. Spirit of God, use me. Lord, particularly as we get into this idea of relationship, Lord, would you work in our lives? Father, we need you and we love you this morning. I pray it in your Son's precious name, and amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. Say, what are your qualifications? Talk about it. Not a lot. Not a lot. I am 48, and so I'm got a few more years behind me than maybe I have ahead of me. I don't really know, but I do. I thought about it again. I wrote this out this week. You know, we got married, not just a little broke, but a whole lot, a whole lot broke. We got married and we were interviewing for different places, and so we traveled a good bit. We always joke we had about a 4-week, 5-week honeymoon because we'd scheduled our places we were talking to. They were trying to hire Andre and I, and so we just kept traveling up and down the East Coast. It was kind of funny. We moved in. We were in between. We were getting paid soon, but it was funny. But somebody said, "Hey, you're new here. We just had a half a cow butchered." So they gave us this. This big thing of meat. It was all wrapped. It was wrapped in tinfoil and that butcher paper and all. And so they gave us a burger and steak and ribeye and filet mignon. They just gave it to us. We packed out our freezer. But what they didn't know is we couldn't afford steak sauce, basically. And I mean, we were just that tight and that weird. So it was hysterical. So we ate steak for like a week, steak and burgers for like a week, even though we couldn't. We barely buy a baked potato. I mean, we were just, it was that weird a time in our lives and all those kind of things. So we were the best fed broke people that we know. Somebody say amen to that. By the way, we ate so much, we got tired of steak. We got tired of steak and all those kind of things. It's not possible. I promise, if you eat it 5 or 6, 7 meals in a row, it can work. The preacher, why should you talk about this kind of thing? Well, we move ministries. We move ministries. Took a pretty good pay slice. We moved, went to the college, took another pay slice. Then we didn't finish paying off Riley's birth bills, and then he got real sick, and we had more bills. Riley was quite old when we finally finished paying for him. Nod your head if you've ever been there. So we did that. We worked two jobs for a while, different times in the marriage, and you know those kind of things. I'm not trying to say anything to you that I'm a financial expert. If you've gone into the mode, this is like an AM radio show or some guy talking in the afternoon on one of the local channels, going to give you 15 minutes of what you should do with your money. You're not catching what I'm saying here. I'm not saying at all that I am any kind of an expert. Sometimes we start talking about finance and those kind of things. They get there and they go, okay, well, how's he look? Is he dressed okay? Is his shoes shine? Is he driving a nice car? And that's who we're going to listen to. I want you to listen to what I'm saying because I'm going to give it to you from the Scripture. I believe God has some very practical, pointed, powerful things to say to you about what you do with what he's entrusted to you. And so I hope that you'll catch that. Nod your head if you're still with the preacher this morning. So I think you ought to care about your finances because God cares about your finances. So I've asked you the two questions here. Does the Bible give instruction? The answer is absolutely positively yes. Secondly, do you want peace and do you want freedom? If you'd love to have peace and freedom in this area, would you say amen? Amen. And again, this is teenagers just starting to work. This is folks retired who working days in that sense are formally behind them. Of course, there's lots to do. So I want to help us. I want to help us. I want to offer you some principles here, and I want to do it quickly, but again, what I say. So if you're taking notes, write these down. If you're in the app, you can kind of check along with me. Number one, true wealth is measured by relationships and not dollars. True wealth is measured by relationship and not dollars. Somebody say amen. I don't know if we believe that or not. Do we believe that? True wealth is measured by relationships and not dollars. I think there are two relationships that are paramount for us. One is your relationship with God, and two is your relationship with family, relationship with others. I believe those are the markers of wealth. Why? True wealth. Why? Because you can have everything, the Bible said. What will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? We are relentlessly pursuing that which does not satisfy. Does not satisfy. Proverbs says, better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than what with a brawling woman. If there's fussing and fighting and feuding, you'd be better off to sit in a corner and nobody pay you any attention than to have disharmony in a home. Your relationships matter immensely, immensely. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 4, the Bible says, labor not to be rich, cease from your own wisdom. Here's the parallel. Will you set your eyes upon that which is not? Riches make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Anybody here feel better if you have a little money on you? Anybody, you feel a little better? Somebody like, I wouldn't know. I'd never had any money. If I have that, I stay on the kids, I stay on Andre. I want you to have at least this much money on you. And Allison's like, well, I've got my debit card. You may be where you couldn't use a debit card. You may be broke down. You know, I want you to have this. Daddy will feel better if you have this. Andre, I want you to have this money, much money on. I feel better. Don't always. I always feel better if I have $100 on me. Some of you are going, I wonder if he does now, because I'm going to hit him in the lobby. And I just something about it. Man, if I've got that, I feel like I can handle anything. That doesn't mean anything. It's just, this is me. I don't always do that. Somewhere the other day, something came up out of the blue, and I had to break it, and I stood there, and I held it, and a little teenage girl, woman's there, you know, at the register, and she's kind of looking at me like I've lost my mind, and I'm just sitting there, and she says, sir, are you okay? I said, I'm fine, I'm just saying goodbye, and because as soon as I break it, it's all gone. It just runs out. You know, if I can keep it together, if I can keep the family together, it'd stay with me, but as soon as I break him, it's all over. And she says, I know what you mean. I looked at her. She might have been 16 in a day. I was like, you don't have any idea what I mean. But anyway, I appreciate you saying that. It was kind of funny. There's something about it. Why? We all get it, man. When you get money, it's like it's just flying, trying to fly out of your hand. Why would you pursue something that you know doesn't last? But people do it all the time. They get out of church. They get away from the Lord. They get away from each other. They neglect their family. They work all the time. They do all these kinds of, we pursue that which does not satisfy us, and we're not made for it to satisfy us. Relationship with God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Nobody can serve two masters, For he will hate the one and love the other. He will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and stuff. Mammon. You cannot do it. You cannot do it. Here's what we do. We go, well, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10, he that loves silver shall not be satisfied with silver. He that loves abundance with increase, this also is vanity, is emptiness. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. Why shouldn't you do this? Because the world passes away, and all the passion, the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. Your relationship with God ought to be more important than your pursuit of wealth. Your relationship with God ought to be more important than your pursuit of wealth. Somebody say amen. We don't do that. We don't believe that. We put everything and anything in its place. Say, preacher, should we not? I'm not saying you don't provide for your family. Scriptures are plain about that. I'm not saying you don't. I mean, when your ox is in the ditch, a work of emergency or a necessity. There are doctors. Jesus healed on the Sabbath day. That was a work of emergency. Work of necessity is eating. The disciples went through and they picked and they did those kind of things. The Puritans had it wrong. They said you shouldn't cook on Sunday. No, Jesus, they ate on Sunday. There are some things that are permissible. I'm not talking about all that. I'm simply saying when you got your priorities out of whack, you misunderstand that the wealth, true wealth, comes from your relationships, your relationship with God and with others. Your faith in your family is always more valuable than your paycheck, Peter Anderson said. So don't compromise what matters in the pursuit of wealth. Don't compromise what matters in the pursuit of wealth. I've lived long enough to hang around some people that I think have some means, but are as lone and as miserable as they can be later in their life. They can do and go and buy anything they want. But they've stepped on everybody and ruined their relationships, and their kids won't speak to them. And they have regret. They can buy everything but happiness. See, true wealth comes from our relationships. The Bible is crystal clear with this. It's okay to have money, but don't ever let money, stuff, have you. Your family can do with less stuff if it means having more of you. We need to make choices on purpose this way. Somebody say amen. There's this idea here. Number two, debt is a form of slavery. So get rid of it as fast as you can. Debt's a form of slavery, so get rid of it as fast as you can. Now, here's the difference between the Bible and what passes for popular use. We use debt to build wealth. Let me give you a timeout. An investment in things that appreciate is a little different than charging a hamburger at McDonald's. Somebody nod your head if you follow that logic there. We were doing something at the start of the year and on personal stuff and all, Andre and I were watching this little video. And lady was doing a little video, and we were watching it. She said, okay, some of you keep asking questions why when you do this you move money out of here. She says, because you owe that money. You owe that money. And she was like 27, 28, and then she just kind of testified a minute. She says, you know what? Said, I can't believe it. It took me so long to figure out that if you charge something, you actually owe that money. And it kept surprising me every month. So now I do this and do that. And my wife just roared at the little computer monitor here, because I'm thinking, here's this 28-year-old font of wisdom. If you owe somebody. The Bible compares it to slavery. Proverbs 22, verse 7, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Somebody said they liked the Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Hi ho, it's off to work I go. Somebody changed it to I O, it's off to work I go. And when you owe somebody, when you owe a debt, you owe a debt. And again, I think in 2019, I don't think we feel like we're responsible for these kind of things. But you are. You are. You're a servant. You're a slave here. Somebody called these the golden handcuffs of our world. No. We understand. We get rid of it. One of the fun things that we do in financial peace, we've done it a few times now, is we'll have a class and I'll bring in scissors. And we let everybody know that, man, we want you to bring a card because we're going to do some plastic surgery. And we have a little fun with the stuff. So I think this is my 11th class. So I remember, it wasn't here, it was years ago before we moved here. I taught this, and we're going through there, and I got to the class, and I brought the scissors out, and the woman, bless her heart, she grabbed her purse, grabbed her clutch, whatever you call it, grabbed her purse and did like this. She put it to her chest and then put both her arms in front of it like I was going to go in her purse. How many of you, figure out, preacher's no dummy. I ain't going in a woman's purse. I don't know what's in there. I never have found out. I don't care. It's a mystery to me. And I'm especially not going in a stranger's purse and taking out her cards and cutting them up. And she says, I can't do it. I said, it's okay. And everybody else is having fun. They're laughing. They're doing plastic surgery and all these kind of things. Guys like, I'm going to take them home. We had a lady here a few years ago. She wanted everybody's, she brought in, I don't know, 10, 15 cards. She cut them up, and she's kind of crafty. She went and she made a collage out of them. She brought it the next week and decoupage and all this kind of stuff. She's like, this is who I used to be. This is not who I am anymore because I'm no longer going to be a slave to this stuff. And there, but then you had the other woman like, and I'm like, man, what's the problem? And anyway, she quit the class. It was like halfway through. She quit the class because she thought we were going to go in her purse and get her cards out and all these kind of things. No. We're just trying to teach what the Bible says. The Bible says what? Man, the borrower is servant to the lender. The best you can be is not to be in debt, and get rid of that. You want financial peace? Get rid of some debt. Amen. Get rid of some debt. We decided we're going to do a little visual. We got our house payment, and so we got a little house and a little coloring thing. Andrea did this week, and so we're coloring in the bricks every time the principal we're paying off, and so we're trying to get that whole house colored in, because you know why? Because we get the house paid off, man, we'll be free. Amen. And we get out of debt, and because debt's slavery, and I don't want to be in debt. Say the Bible's not real practical. The Bible's crazy practical. Number three, lasting wealth comes from consistent discipline and work, not get rich quick stuff. Not get rich quick. I'm not saying there's a difference in earning some fast money and getting rich quick. I've been around people who've been burned with pyramid schemes. Folks who bought condos that never got built in South Carolina. Triple your money, quadruple your money. I'm kind of like Dave Ramsey. The only way you can really quickly double your money is to fold it in half. Yeah. Man, takes work. Takes work. Takes work. Proverbs 13:11. Wealth gotten by vanity, emptiness shall be diminished. He that gathers by labor shall increase. 1 Timothy 6:6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Our culture wants everything now without any work. I told the story a few years ago. I went and looked at my notes. I was traveling. I was in Kentucky. Maybe in Ohio, but I was upstate. And I pulled in, this guy pulled in a real nice Mercedes. Real nice Mercedes. Pulled in, a beautiful car, had the upgraded rims, all this kind of thing. It was a convertible car. And at the time, the Powerball, whatever, was really raging. I forget what it was now. I didn't write it in my notes, but it was a really big one. And the guy comes in there, and he takes out his wallet, and he just throws down just 20 after 20, and he's buying all these tickets. Buying all these tickets. He goes outside. I don't really think a whole lot about it. I think it's kind of odd. And but anyway, he goes outside, and he's out there. I reckon some of them were what's called the scratch-offs. He scratches off some things and comes back in, and he pulls out what looked to be a black American Express, which I don't know this to be true. I was told it has no limit. And so he whips this thing out, and the guy just starts rolling off the stuff to him. Just starts rolling off the stuff to him. And so he's over there, and I'm getting my pretzel and my Coca-Cola and or my Diet Coke, you know, and whatever. And so I'm getting there, and I'm completely confused, because here's this guy driving an $80,000, $90,000 automobile, and he has just charged a bunch of gaming tickets, and he's there, and he's just, man, he's getting madder and madder, and he's cussing, and he's madder and madder. I left. He was buying more stuff, and I'm thinking, how's a guy get a car like this and dress in nice clothes and not understand he's just donating his money over here? He'd have been much better off. He'd have been much better off just going and feeding a homeless person. He got something out of it. He got nothing out of what he's doing here. And I'm thinking, man, just because he has something doesn't mean he understands anything about finance. Nod your head if you're with me. What the Bible says. Man, the get rich quick doesn't work. Doesn't work. It's not supposed to work. Lasting wealth. Say, does no one ever get rich quick? I think some do. You want to watch a sobering documentary, a sobering book. You look at the people who won the lottery who wish they'd never seen that money. Never seen that money. Get rich quick. We don't want to work. We don't want to work. Those of you that are over 40, over 50, you remember Maynard G. Gibbs, who couldn't say work. It's on the show Dobie Gillis. Some of you get bored with me, you can Google that in a minute. And you can watch that. And he was the precursor. He was Gilligan. The actor played Gilligan. This was before he became Gilligan on Gilligan's Island. And the whole running gag on the show was he could never say work, work. He could never say work because he was a hippie and he was a goof off and out. And we've idolized that where we don't want to work. We don't want to do things. We don't want to do what the Bible says. Number four, remember it's all God's money. It's all God's money. We're just managers of it. It's all God's money. We're managers of it. Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and everybody that dwells therein. I am just managing it. I am just managing it. I will give an account one day. I'm just managing it. I didn't ask Riley, so I'm sorry. I should have asked you. Riley got some loot at Christmas. How many of you like loot at Christmas and birthdays and all that? You like loot? Like half of you didn't raise your hand. God bless you. If you don't want it, you just pass it on. I'll find something to do with it. And so his birthday is December 31st. Christmas is 25th. So he got Christmas loot, and then he got birthday loot. So he got loot. He got loot. He just turned 16, doesn't have any bills. As my wife lovingly calls our children, they're parasites. And so some of you didn't smile. Some of you, that's odd, awful. And so he's there, and so he's got all this loot. And he's like, I got to buy. No, you don't have to buy. I want. Riley, you didn't have anything you wanted until you got this money. Now you got this money you want. Anybody have that problem, by the way? And I said, no, we're going to do this. And I said, I'll keep up with it for you. So I keep it. I've got it. Sorry to tell you, but I'm putting this on the video. And so I had it in a secret place. And I don't want any home invaders coming in the house. But anyway, I've got it there. And I've got it where he can see it. He asked me this week, he said, you still got my money, Dad? Yes, son, I've not spent your loot. I said, you can go by and check on it. I've got a sticky note on it, not mine. How many of you think that's a good sticky note, right? And I got a sticky note on it, not mine. It's Riley's, it's his loot. And we'll get something with it, maybe, but it's okay. How many of you think Dad's trying to teach him something, that it's okay to have something and not spend it? That savings is a good idea. But I got news for you. I wouldn't dare touch it. Guess why? Because it ain't mine. Plus, I'd lose a good illustration. So you're being silly. Let me help you. If a father knows to do that to a child, why in the world do we not, as God's children, realize that we're managing his stuff? We treat it like it's ours. We do with it like it's ours. We spend it like it's ours. We don't save and follow his instructions. We don't give. We do all kind of things like it's ours. But we are just simply managers of God's money. We're simply managers of God's money. Number five, you still with me? Say amen. How many of you are getting a little help here? How many of you are getting some things reinforced? How many of you got, I need to fix that in my life. I need to change that. I need to make an adjustment or two. We want to help you. Number five, money's not evil, but greed sure is. Money's not evil, but greed sure is. Let me help you. It's covetousness to want what your neighbor has. It's murderous to want it so much you're willing to kill them. That's covetousness. That's envy. I want. Let me help you. And if you can't say no, I think you got a problem with greed and a problem with selfishness. Greed's not just about what I want to earn, but what I want to do with that. I want for me. Money is not. Somebody, we quote this verse wrong all the time. Money is the root of all evil. No, money is the root of, the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. Not money. Money is immaterial. Money can build a hospital or can buy a bomb. Money doesn't care what it does. Like a brick, Dave Ramsey says. It can do all kinds of things. You can throw it through that window and do destruction, or you can build an orphanage with it. Money is that way. But to love money. Years and years ago, as a youth pastor, we went to camp. Love camp, man. God breaks down strongholds in people's lives at camp, adults' lives, children's lives. We're going to the Wilds this year. It's the 50th year they've had camp. Man, it's going to be great. Tom Farrell's going to be preaching. It's going to be awesome. We've got some of you adults want to go with us because you want God to spark something in your life. Man, I'm so excited. We going to camp. I got there in August. I started there in August full time. So this camp would have been in June. I've been there just a while. We had ran about 200, 250 in the church. From 5 to 18, we had about 50, 60 young people. Large youth ministry. Hands full. I was first full-time youth pastor. We had couples in the church, 17, 18, 16, 17, making out during the service. A lot of spiritual needs. Nod your head if you would. Mom and dad just sitting there giggling at them. I'm ready to throw a frisbee at their head. How many of you like to be in a service where the guy on the stage goes, there wasn't any such thing as a Nerf gun back then. I'd have used that. It got so bad one Sunday, the preacher walked to the balcony in front of the kids' parents and threatened them. The bears are going to come out of the woods and eat them. He did one of those kind of deals. And because they were goofing around. Somehow, some way, we got these kids to camp. How many of you think unspiritual kids not going to have a real good time at church camp? How many of you think that's a rough ride there? Got them to camp. As soon as they got there, they're looking for a phone. I'm calling my mom and dad. I ain't coming to this, man. You said it'd be fun. I said, it is fun. You said, we'd be swimming. Swimming tomorrow. So we got preaching. Not preaching. I didn't know we'd have preaching at church camp. And I'm like, ugh. So we're there. Monday night was stone, Tuesday night was stone, Wednesday night was stone. About Thursday, God started really, really working in their hearts. They started letting him work in their hearts. And a kid who hated everything about God and everything comes forward, man, gives her life to Jesus. Another girl, man, she'd been saved a little earlier in life. She'd let rebellion come in her life. She comes forward, man, before we know it, man, the whole place is going crazy. And not our kids are making spiritual decisions. Friday was just a glorious day. We got up and went to home Saturday morning. They got home Saturday, and they started telling their parents, man, you need to start living right. You need to start doing this. You're nothing but a big hypocrite. That was not what they learned at camp. They just got all excited. And so I got parents calling me, and they're going, hey, my kid's just going crazy. Man, it's phenomenal. Man, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What they didn't know is I'd been up most of the week with the kids and counseling and up praying. I was up early. So when I got home as a single man on Saturday, I went to sleep. The kids were at the church having a testimony service. They kept calling me. This is before cell phones. I had to ring her off or something. I don't know what it is. Man, I was gone. I slept from like 4 that afternoon, 3 that afternoon. I slept till like the next morning. I get up, man. I got the message thing on my phone is full. And I'm going, oh, no, somebody's dead. And I start listening. It's this parent and this kid and this parent and this kid and this parent and this kid. And then I got a parent saying, hey, my kid's quitting their job because they're working on Sunday. Another one saying, hey, they got a job, but they're going to work on Sunday. But they're right with God now. They're not doing this. And we'll figure it out somehow. We'll get it. And so I get to church, man, and people hugging me and kissing me and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, I didn't do anything, man. Your kids got right with God. The Holy Spirit talked to it, but it changed everything about it. They went from wanting a car and wanting all this stuff. Man, they just wanted to love God. They want to serve him. By the way, some of them in full-time work right now, loving the Lord and still married and doing exactly what they're supposed to all these years later. Why? Because they figured out, man, that to love God was antithetical to loving money, because the love of money ends up in all kinds of evil. Somebody say amen. We need to be careful. We need to be careful. Money's not evil, but greed is. Number 6, generosity blesses you, blesses the other person. Generosity blesses the gift and the giver. Remember what I said, ox in the ditch, food on the table. I'm not using a broad brush this morning. I am talking about the love of money. Number 6, generosity blesses both the gift and the giver, the recipient. 2 Corinthians 9:7, every man gives as he purposes in his heart, so let him not give. Let him give not grudgingly or of necessity. God loves a cheerful giver. Proverbs 22:9. He that has a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for gives of his bread to the poor. Proverbs 11:25. The liberal soul shall be made fat. The generous soul shall be increased. And he that waters shall also be watered himself. God says, you will give and I will. You will water and I'll just pour it back on you. You will give and you will give. And you think you would shrink, but instead I'm just going to make you grow. You do this. Generosity blesses both. Generosity blesses both. Dave Ramsey says it like this. The happiest people I know are generous people. and the most miserable are misers. You cannot win with money. He says 100% of the people he knows that wins with money, that are happy with money, are givers. Without exception. Without exception. You can have plenty of money and be miserable, but to win with money, you have got to be what? You have got to be generous. You've got to be generous. The happiest people I know, Ramsey says, are generous people. The most miserable are misers. Still with me? Still with me? Number seven. You can't take it with you, but you can make an impact for eternity. I've watched teenagers with part-time jobs send a junior kid to camp, and that junior kid got saved. I've watched folks with a new baby, and they got bills, and they got diapers, and they got formula, and they're making sure they kept their missionary commitments because it was important that the gospel got preached across the water. I hadn't kept up with him lately. I hadn't kept up with Bill Gates since he retired, went and stepped off full-time managing Microsoft and went more toward his NGO and nonprofit kind of things. Gates believes he believes the 10 wealthiest people in the world could end hunger and could end most disease. He's committed to that. It's interesting, fascinating. Again, I hadn't paid a lot of attention the last few years. He says a lot of interesting things. Did an interview with him and Melinda. Melinda's from went to school at Duke there in North Carolina. Odds are she and I have been in the same building for some events years ago. Of course, she lives out in Washington now, but still travels. They're interesting people. They're having children, and he asked him straight out. Said, what are you going to do for your kids? He may have changed his mind, but the interview he gave, he said, we're leaving them both. It was either $10,000 or $50,000. And the reporter said, I don't understand. I thought, is there some problem? The kids were small. I said, no. We'll leave them that. That'll get them a down payment or something. And we'll try and have them set up. But that's all. Everything else is going to go. And the reporter pressed him. Said, but you're worth, it's not what I'm worth. Said, we want them to be, I think he said, responsible citizens. He didn't say what I would have said. If we leave them a fortune that they didn't earn and they don't know how to handle, it'll ruin. And it's more important that they be good people. I think that's what he said. And we do something good with our fortune. I looked at Andrea. I said, if I was her kids, I'd be mad, I think. But at 48, I go, I get that. I really and truly get that. And Riley, you have nothing to worry about. This is not an option for you. And they're more interested in making a different impact than spoiling their kids. Well, I like that, don't you? You can invest it. You can impact eternity. Matthew chapter 6, lay not up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust corrupt and thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust nor corrupt nor thieves don't break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let me ask you, where is your treasure at this morning? I can make an impact for eternity. If I get hit by a bus tomorrow, I don't want to leave anything on the table. Look right at me. I want to die with a pile of I wish I had. I'll make an impact for eternity. I believe you do too. And I'd much rather make an impact for eternity and the things that really matter in the lives of people, send that treasure on ahead, and you continue doing things that don't make any difference at all. Somebody say, I gave you a few ideas here. I want to give them to you. Here's the way I want to wrap this up. By the way, if you're here, you don't know Christ, what I've said to you sounds foolish. The most important thing in your life ought to be your relationship with God. If your relationship with God is not right, I can this morning show you from the Scripture, somebody else can show you from the Scripture, how you can know this morning that everything is right between you and the Savior. But I'm encouraging you as we head into our last of these services, these four ideas here. I gave them to you. Whatever it is that rivals your affection for God, I'd love for you to put in the blank and just make that decision. You know, I love God more than my car. I love God more than my house, more than bank account. I love God more than this, more than that. I love God more than you may want to just put, I love God more than anything. And that is what I want the desire of my heart to be. Second, if you have any debt, I want to break free. I want to break free. Dave Ramsey says, get gazelle intense, like a gazelle running from the cheetah. He will not get me. I am not going to do it. I'm not going to keep doing it. I want to get out. I want to do that. People ask me. I teach all week at the college, and I drive a long-distance truck from Raleigh, North Carolina to typically somewhere in Missouri. And I turn around and come back. I get in about 3 a.m. on Sunday morning, get a few hours sleep, get up and head to church. And do that. Why are you doing that? Because we owed these hospital bills. We owed all these bills, man. We had to get out from under them because they were killing us. And you say, why would you do that? Because we did it. Because I was not going to be enslaved to debt. As a borrower, servant to the lender. I wasn't doing it. I'm not the example here. I'm saying that's a biblical principle that we need to practice. It'll crush you, kill you, to choke you. Number three, I will dedicate the use of my resources. By what? By starting to give, by giving faithfully, by by investing in the work of the Lord, by taking seriously my role as a steward, a manager of God, whatever it is. Number four. By the way, if you won't do that with a part-time $8 an hour job, there's no way you're going to do it with an $8,000 a month job. You do it now. Do it what you have. I will dedicate, number four, I want my life to count. I want my life to count. See, preacher, you gave us seven things, and you gave us four things. I gave you seven biblical principles. I gave you four just applications. Where are you at? Where are you at? I was, I think I told Sunday school, so just a few months ago, I was at the deal, with all the sweaty people the other day, before Christmas. Guy walked in, brand new clothes. Walked in when I did. Went and sat kind of at the back. I did what I do. I went near where he was. He'd been on his phone the whole time. I walked by him. He had some game going. I don't know. He was exploding balls. I don't know what kind of game that was called. But anyway, he was doing that. He was there. He sat there the whole time. I was in there. I was walking out. He was still over there. He saw me kind of walking out, he kind of up and dusted himself off and walked out. He's walking out by him. He said, that was a good workout, wasn't it? And I looked at him and I went, what? You came to the gym to play video games. Maybe the exercise was from your car to the bench. But anyway, if he worked out, I didn't see it. But anyway, he was congratulating himself and me, you know, on a good heavy workout. And I went, Obviously, I'm doing this wrong, if that's what we're supposed to be doing, you know, trying to get a little healthier. And on, I laugh. I got in the car. I think I told Andre and all, but I laugh. And I said, you know, in that way we are most things. I'm just going to sit still and hope it happens. Maybe somebody will do it for me. These are decisions you and I have to make because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Moreover, it's acquired in stewards that a man be found faithful. There is an accounting and a reckoning coming. And God has given us this. Let me help you. Say, well, preacher, that all sounds good, but I'm really upside down. I'm beside myself. I need some help. We'd be glad to help you. We'd be glad to counsel you if it's beyond our scope. I've got people I can refer you to. We've got our financial peace class that we've just started. You can sit in tonight. It won't cost you anything to sit in tonight and see if this is going to be a help to you. But I'm telling you, the Bible has the answers, and there is wisdom to be had, and there is a day coming when we will all wish we had done things that make an impact for eternity. Should I care about my finances? Absolutely, because God cares about your finances. So much so that he told you, gave you wisdom to help you manage them. Gave you wisdom to help you manage your finances. Would you pray with me right now? See, preacher, that's